Awesome.
Ronnie, when you gave Mike that extra 3 minutes that turned into 33, he gave you 27 minutes left. So, yeah. I'm sure you can get it taken care of.
We'll stuff it in there somewhere.
All right.
Did you do that on purpose, Ryan?
Yeah.
Make Mike work harder so you can do it.
Yeah. I like to see him work.
He's a true friend.
Wait a minute. I get up and you leave?
Yeah, don't worry.
We have our private time.
Cause effect.
Cause effect. Come back Tuesday. See you, Gino. Really great seeing you, okay?
Yeah.
Bye.
See you, Anthony.
Anthony, nice meeting you.
Okay,
thank you. Nice
to see you.
Yeah.
Don't work too hard.
Okay, so let's try to re-jumpstart this and get going again. As you look at this,
show me what you did.
How did that happen?
Okay, sorry. We'll try again. As you see by the schedule, our last speaker is Ronnie McCurry, and I mean last because he's on the schedule, the last one of this day. Tomorrow he opens again, and then we have Barney after that. So if you have not had a chance to meet Ronnie before at other conferences, he's been out. We always enjoy him and his wife. You know, it's why we have invited him back a second time. He met my dog that I named after, you know, Mike. Because I love Mike as a brother, and this dog, not a brother Mark kind of love.
No.
Yeah. So that's why you call him Mark.
Yeah. Go there.
So, you know, not knowing how to pronounce your name originally, you know, I thought it was Mickowski. So I called the dog Mick. Right? So, because he makes me happy, and you make me happy. Every time we talk, I mean, you illuminate the room, and you make me happy. Yeah. So, but Ronnie, we've invited back.
Right, yeah. I know, I noticed that.
Because they have two Micks in the house, you know what that would be like. All right. All right, so when I asked Ronnie about himself, Ronnie, like Bob, has such a great sense of humor that when I asked him how to pronounce his name, he said, like it's spelled. So, once again, I had to go back into history and find out just exactly where this name came from, all right?
All right.
And there's more than one possibility, okay? The first is, if you take this, and we know that, you know, Mick is actually... The Irish... Okay, and the Scot, but the Irish especially, they had Mick, M-C, in front of their name, so they were called Micks, all right? Well, the British went over, and they got a bunch of these Irish guys, and they take them to India, okay? And so ancestors, they develop this sauce, special sauce, all right? And they start a franchise, all right? And the sauce they call curry. Okay? And the original franchise changes hands over the years to you know, founding father, to grandson, to grandson, to grandson. And he started the first big, not Mick, Big Mac, okay? Big Mac with curry. All right? So that's one that we have been able to trace. The other one was the other one started the same original way, okay, the Irish, right? It always goes back to them. And so Mick was a doctor, okay? And in the old English, you know, you always had you, meaning ye. So Mick, cure, ye. Hey, I don't write this stuff. I look it up. Okay, you Google it. You know? Sometimes you get these funny Greek figures, you know, in Hebrew, and then you come up with some kind of sermon about it, right?
Wow.
Or, right?
The real stuff.
Yeah. Go ahead and Google that one. Huh? See what you come up with. Okay. That actually is the face of an old lady.
Like an
equine.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty good. Yep. All right, so, getting serious now, Bob.
Good.
Okay. This Mick is married to Lori. They're from West Union, South Carolina. Okay, not to be confused with East Union or Union. West. He too is one of the big brains. Okay. You know, I mean, big brains, right? Really, 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 really incredibly big brains. Because he's a mechanical design engineer with TTI, which, well, we should probably break that down. No, we don't have to touch that. All right. But they make all kinds of tools and hand tools, etc. So most of you would recognize them if you had them in your home and hadn't impaled yourself with them. Which is what chip handles you do. You're going to have to ask Chip about that one, okay? I signed my finger up. I'm going to sue. It's the size fault. Right. Did you put your finger there? No! Just jumped out. Asked him when he knew he was saved. He said, I believed in Christ since I was a young child, around 7 or 8 years old. I knew that I was saved about 10 years old, so there's a gap. And he made a public profession in a, we won't name the church. He came to Right to Vision because he was raised around Right to Vision, that it was always there. He had been taught that from a young age, and he understood what the mystery meant, you know, when he was in high school. Are we talking about the mystery of men and women in high school? Okay. When asked what would you like to ask the Lord if you met him face to face, he said, why would you choose a sinner like Mike to be part? I'm sorry, the sinner as me, not Mike. Okay. Need better glasses. Wait, who is the sinner that you pointed out?
Barney.
We don't go there.
Barney.
Not on camera, all right? Okay. Notice the camera's not panning that direction right now. We don't know who you are pointing at. Probably myself. All right. Most humorous moment. Foolishly, he chose someone other than me and said that at the TFT conference a few years back, the power went off and Jack Eberly was speaking.
Yeah.
And he kept using the emergency exit light.
Yeah.
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 That's
awesome.
Yeah.
So it was humorous and impressive. He just kept on rolling.
Yeah, I was impressed.
That's awesome. Why do you keep coming back to Phoenix other than the weather? He said, the folks? What are folks?
The southern.
It's like burrows or briars? Folks, briars?
I don't know. It could be. You never know.
He said, what an awesome crew. We even love... we love you all. Okay, that's what he said.
Yeah.
He didn't specify anybody in particular. When I was thinking about this man of God study that I did, and I've talked about Ronnie, about Mike and about Bob, and you know, what verse popped up in my mind to describe them. Well, there's one in 2 Timothy 3:14 it says, "But continue thou things in the thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto God." What's the first part of part before that? It is the Word of God, the inspiration of God, Scripture, the inspiration of God. And that is what he is armed with, and which reminds me then of the other part, is that the man of God follows after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. But he also fights the fight, lays hold of faith, lays hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. At a young age, he was taught this word, and he has fought the fight all these years. I mean, when peers would say, "You're doing what? You're going to where? Bible study? A conference? Are you serious?" And we fight that same fight. As parents, you know, we have children that may or may not be amongst us. They might leave early whenever I get up. she used to say, you know, "I don't fear many people, but I'm scared to death of you, Uncle Forrest." So now I know why she left. And so as we think about Ronnie, I think about the man who wears the armor of God and is willing to fight, and yet has this gentleness, this softness to him. And while serious, he's got that grits and gravy way of making it palatable to all of us. So with that, Ronnie McCurie.
Yes. Thank you. I would rather get a root canal. I would rather get a root canal than an introduction from Forrest. No, he always seems to end it up in a way that makes me go, "Oh, now I can't kill him." And they are putting us up, by the way, so yeah, I got to be nice to him at least to the end of the conference.
I've locked up the power.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know where they'll be. Can everybody hear me okay? My voice generally carries pretty good, so I don't have a whole lot of problem. Maybe this isn't on. Is it on now? Yeah, it's on now. Right, hold on. Is that better? How's that? Can you hear me okay? Good. I'm basically running the speaker so that I can get a pretty good recording for the folks at home. And boy, they let you know if they can't hear. Just like, sounds out. We appreciate that. I hope everybody on Pal Talk is able to receive this, is getting as big a blessing out of it as I am. Because just coming out here is, for me, it's awesome. And we've already had an awesome time. We had a little time with Jim and Jan a couple of days. Before we came on down the hill, I think as you guys call it, down the hill from Flagstaff, and just had a wonderful time. Carl and Stefan. Sometimes I call him Stefan, sometimes I call him Stefan. We got to get him an American name. When you go to China, they always assign the Chinese, you know, the Chinese, you know, they give them some kind of American name so that we can call them American names. So we got to get him an American name. We'll do that eventually.
Youngin.
Yeah, Youngin.
We'll call him Youngin.
But anyway, let's go before the Lord in prayer before we get started. Father, we do thank you for this day so much. We thank you for these people that have come this way, Father, for that truth that we've heard already and for the edification that we feel, the togetherness that we feel, and the love that we feel in this place. And Father, we thank you today for your word, for the truth of it that we have so clearly heard from all these speakers. We thank you for the fact that it is life, and that in this word we truly do have life. And we know that fact, and we have that fact. Yet we ask that now that you would bless us as we try to bring the word, that you would continue to grace us with your spirit. It's in his name today that we do humbly pray. Amen. All right. I want to welcome you all here. And I want to let everybody know that everybody in South Carolina, I'm sure, sends their love. I saw Tony and Candy finally got on there a while ago, probably after their day at work. I always keep my watch on Carolina time, so I know where I am, kind of established in where I'm supposed to be in the continuum of time. If I change my watch around, I really do get lost. So try to do that. But I wanted to pass that on to everybody. Thank you for your prayers for all of us down through the past few months, especially for Mom and a lot of the others in our group. Had a lot of calamity and seemingly a lot of sickness. So we thank you for that. We also thank you guys for putting us up, opening up your homes, opening up your hearts, for all the food, which is incredible.
Yeah, really.
And I know, you know, we're not easy to put up with. Some of us worse than others. we do sincerely appreciate that, and we appreciate the hospitality. I'm always amazed by it. I don't know why I am, but I come out here and it's like I got a home on one coast and I've got a home on the other coast. And that, you really do make me feel that way. I really appreciate that. That comes from the heart. I wanted also to remind everybody that we will have both video and audio copies of all these studies that you've heard, and boy, they've been good. I've even got audio copies of the ones that we did up at Jim and Jan's. There's three of them. One of them is where Stephan did his, and he went into a little more detail with it than he did this, the quick one that he did here. But you got the gist of what he put up here. But we do have the copy of the extended version. It's already on the website. So for all of you listening on Pal Talk, if you haven't heard that yet, I urge you to go and check it out. It'll bless you. It did me. He left me there with my jaw open for a little bit. And it was truly a blessing to hear. That's the first time I've heard stuff. I don't think it's the first time he spoke. It was the first time I'd heard him, and it was a huge blessing to me. And when these guys, these new young guys that are coming along, grab the Word of God like that, it's a big deal. It's a real big deal. And I think we all should take it as a big deal and be thankful to God for it. Because we're not going to be here forever. And God will always provide somebody to carry this on. I believe that. Just like he gave Timothy to Paul. There are going to be the others that will come on that will continue to carry this on. So I want to let everybody know that it is on the website. It will be there. You can go and download it or listen to it, stream it, however you want to do it. And I appreciate Chip for that. Don't give him enough credit for what he does, but he's been a big blessing to me and just to help getting it done. He knows things that I don't know, and he just makes it easy. Usually all I've got to do is upload the file, and he takes care of it, and he'll show me how to do it, and I'll go in there and mess it up. And he'll say, Ronnie, if you're going to do it this way. And I'm like, okay, Chip, show me one more time. And he'll show me, and I'll go in and do it. He'll say, Ronnie, have to fix it again. Let me show you again how to set it up. So I think we've been through that, about four times now?
We got it now.
Oh, yeah, sure we did. So kudos to Chip for the work that he does. And kudos to Barney for coming up with Pal Talk. It continues to be like a 2 or 3 conference a week experience for me to go through Pal Talk. Look at the people we've met through Pal Talk and what a ministry that it is and what it's turning into. And we're so thankful for that and so thankful for the fact that that we have it. I also have Carl Sands with us from Guatemala. And Carl, man, that guy can cook. I mean, you look at him, you don't think he can cook. Carl can cook. We ate salmon and elk burgers and some of the most awesome salads you'll ever have. Yeah, and stew, bison stew, buffalo stew. I mean, it was. I got him a little spoiled. It's gonna be hard to go back, but we've had an awesome time. Been a big good. I'm very thankful for that. And I got to hear Jimmy. Young Jimmy McWilliams spoke again while we were up there. And it had been too many years since I'd heard Jimmy speak. But let me tell you, he hadn't lost a touch. So I had to boost his volume a little bit in the audio file that I created, but it's on the website. If you want to hear young Jimmy McWilliams, once again, back in action, go to the website and download it and listen to it. I guarantee you it'll bless your heart. It's about the languages that the scripture has been recorded in down through the ages. So I guarantee you you'll appreciate the study. It'll be a blessing to you. Let's see. Where are we here? Okay, I think we're up to date. Now, this is a very special conference for me, in that it was the first time for me to hear two young men teach the Word of God. Stephen, of course, already mentioned him, and Travis Monroe. Now, I know that Travis teaches for you guys on a rather regular basis, and I hate that I haven't been hearing those, because as I sat there last night and listened to Travis, I was like, wow, this guy knows some stuff. And I think he was probably being a little bit, what's the word? He was holding back a little bit, maybe being a little bit timid about what he really knows. I don't think the subject that he was talking about is the only subject that he's qualified to talk about. I would be willing to bet that he could talk about several things, and I wouldn't be ashamed at all to sit and listen to it. So I look forward to hearing more about Travis. But it's a big deal when these young guys come and step up and take the reins, like the Lord would have them to do. Give me a second. So what I wanted to do today is I want to do a quick study to relate to their pedigree. Now you say, well, how do they have a pedigree? What does that mean? For lack of a better term, it's their charge. They have a charge, just like we have a charge. Everybody in this room, basically, has a charge. And everybody teaches in one way or another, whether you really realize it or not. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. If you set up a conference, if you ask a question, if you take somebody a cup of water at a conference, you're teaching. Whether you realize it or not, whatever you're doing it for the Lord, and in one way or another, you're teaching. And sometimes that's the only scripture that anybody ever sees, whether you realize it or not. You know, we like to think when we get up here and teach, and when we talk, that, oh, they're going to just run home and jump right into that and study every word of it. And a lot of folks do, but a lot of folks don't. And so sometimes, you know, the life we live and the things we do, that's the only scripture anybody ever sees. So think about that when you think about teaching. But the fact that these guys that I've heard this week are willing to step up, and not that speaking at a conference is any greater teaching than anybody else does. But it's sort of to me it was, I remember how big a deal it was to me the first time I ever did it. And it's just not easy. Somebody calls you and asks you to teach, it's just not that easy, because you're kind of intimidated. Now, I look out across the folks that I'm looking at here, and you guys aren't novices in the Scripture. You know, there's if you add it all together, there's hundreds of years, probably. Now, some add to that a little bit more than others. But there's probably hundreds of years of digging in the Scripture in this room. And that can be a little, you know, for a few of the first-time guys, somebody comes on, hey, why don't you teach us something? Me? I remember the first time Larry Dyer did it for me. And it can be overwhelming. So, I want to take you through some scripture that goes along with that. Okay? Of course, this all begins, teaching this begins with the finished work of Christ. Everybody, I'm going to assume that we're all up to that level. Everybody knows that there is no teaching that's worth teaching without the finished work of Christ. Everybody in this room, I'm sure, is very aware of that. So we'll take that as the beginning point for where we're going to jump in today. And it continues down through history with our apostle, the Apostle Paul. Now here again, I'm sitting in a room full of studious, what I consider to be well-scriptured people. No doubt about it. You can stop any of these folks in this room pretty much and talk to them. And you stand and have a Bible study with any of them. I've done it many times in between speakers. It's actually hard when you're the one trying to keep a conference moving. I've done what Barney's doing and what Forrest is doing. When you're the one trying to keep it moving, you got to break up 45 Bible studies so you can have a Bible study. I mean, that's the way it works out. Bob's done it. You know, Bob stands up first, beats, you know, Pete beats on the microphone. You know, this guy is like herding butterflies. And Bob pinned it down. But it all begins, it continues down through history with our apostle, the Apostle Paul. And everybody knows that. I've already made that perfectly clear. Everybody knows Ephesians 3:1. And they know what it means. Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Everybody knows pretty clearly what that means, okay? Paul's apostleship, what I want to do here for just a minute, and I'm going somewhere with this, Travis and Stephen. So bear with me. I'm going somewhere with this. When we get to the end, hopefully you'll realize where we're going. Paul's apostleship, what I want to do is I want to review some of the salutations that Paul uses in some of his letters. Turn with me to Romans 1:1. We'll get into the scripture. You can learn a ton from reading one verse from the next books that I'm about to mention. You can learn a ton from reading the first verse of the books that I'm about to mention. My study is not very complicated today by anybody's stretch of the imagination. When it's over, you should walk out of here and say, yep, I get it. I know exactly what it is Ronnie was trying to say. So bear with me. Turn with me to Romans 1:1. I'm going to read the first verse. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Okay? And we could read on and get some of the other context, but bear with me in this. I hate to do a one-verse thing, but for the point of it, let's do it this time. I want you to remember the word separated there, because we're going to come back to it. It's important in what I got to say. Okay? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1:1. You say, well, he really has lost it now. 1 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, Sosthenes, our brother. Called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God? The will of God? I want you to note this word will here. And that's Greek word number 2307. It's the Greek form. I'm sorry, Mike. It's the Greek form, philema. Philema. And it means an active volition, a wish, or a desire. That's what the will of God is. It's God's desire that the Apostle Paul be an apostle. This doesn't happen by accident. What I'm trying to do is establish for you the apostleship of Paul. Now, I'm sure for everybody in this room, it's not, you know, it's this old hat. This is review. I'm not telling you anything new right here. Okay? It's an active volition. It's a wish or a desire. That's what this will of God here is that it talks about in verse 1. Now, we're going to see this several other times. Let's keep going. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 1:1. I had never done this till this morning. A lot of times I think we gloss over these greetings in these books, but there's a lot of stuff in these greetings. All this scripture is given by inspiration and it's profitable. So let's not be guilty of hurrying through it a lot of times. Paul, 2 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. There it is again. And Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are all in Achaia. So, even the first verse there gives you a lot of information. And we have Paul, an apostle, by the will of God, once again. Interesting. Turn with me over to Galatians 1:1. We're going to come back to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to have to hurry through, or I'm not going to get done. Hurry on. Paul, an apostle. He's a little different here. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Do you see the different ways that he begins his address to different peoples at different times for different reasons? It kind of amazed me a little bit as I went through it. Turn with me to Ephesians 1:1. Mikey's already covered it. But we need to look at it again. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. There's that will of God again. Same word, thelema. To the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And we certainly take those words to heart. I know I do. And I know everybody in this room does. Turn over to Colossians 1:1. Colossians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Anybody seeing the pattern here? Apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother. And we'll stop there. What I'm trying to do is establish a pattern here. This is not true in every book. The will of God doesn't appear in every one of Paul's books, all 14 of them, but it certainly appears in the majority of them. I thought that was interesting. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 1:1. 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. By the commandment. Have you ever wondered why he did these differently? I'm not standing here making you think I've got the answer. I'm asking it as a question. If you've been listening to my studies, you'll know that I'll generally generate more questions than I'll answer. And I think that's what we ought to do. I love to answer questions if I can, but sometimes I stand in awe of the Word just as everybody else does, or most of the time I do. And we many times have to answer our own questions. And I think that's what teaching is all about, is to get somebody to go answer their own question. Any good teacher don't think so, Kelly. We'll generate questions in the minds of the kids, make them go on to look and learn. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy 1:1. Same thing. 2 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, there it is again, by the thelema of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. And then finally, let's look at Titus 1:1. I generally miss Titus in here. There he is. Titus 1:1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging or the epignosis of the truth, which is after godliness. So that's a little bit different address there in the small book of Titus. You find him talking about epignosis, or a full experiential understanding, he says, of the truth, which is after godliness. And I thought these were interesting. But the thing I wanted you to see through here, is there anybody that has any question? If you believe the scripture, and Mikey made it perfectly clear that it's either the word of God or it's the biggest lie ever perpetuated. And I believe it to be the word of God. Because in its life, There's life in this book. It ain't just words in a book. It's life. Is there anybody when you look at it that has any doubt at all about the apostleship of Paul? I don't. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not. I'm sure you have. Many of us in this room have been over Paul over and over and over and over again. In our group alone, we've been through the book of Acts maybe four times in the last 30-something years. And I always learn something every time I go through it. But I've never questioned the apostleship of this man. And when he says what he says in Ephesians 3:1, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, I believe he's an apostle. Now, as if that wasn't enough, turn with me back to Galatians 1. And I know Galatians is a kingdom book, but probably one of the best descriptions of the apostleship of Paul and where he got his commission is in this book. It's so clear that it almost needs no explanation. I'm going to read Galatians 1, 11 through 24, and then I want to go back and review verse 15 a little bit. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. There was some question of these Galatians. They were turning back away from the word that Paul had given them during the Acts period. And they were turning back to the, as he called them, the weak and beggarly elements, the things that they were supposed to go away from, the baptism of repentance and those type of things. So Paul writes this book as a book of correction back to these Galatians. And he says this, there was, as if there was any question from them about his apostleship, he clears it up for them. He says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I didn't get it from anybody else. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. He got it straight from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, for you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion. See, he even separates himself a little bit from them right there. In the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. And we're going to review a little bit more about his statement right there in just a couple of minutes. I want you to look at verse 15 very closely. I'm going to read on down past it, but I want you to think about it while I read on, then we're going to come back to it. 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me, there's that word separated again, that we saw a few minutes ago. Where was it? Romans 1:1. It's the same word. We'll get into it in just a minute. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. He says, afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. It was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. He now preaches that which he destroyed. Now, let's go back up to verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Now, two possible ways, I think, of viewing the interpretation of this verse. You could say that God separated him when he was born from his mother's womb, or just removed him from his mother's womb. That's not what this means. The reason I say that is because there are two things mentioned in this verse that are important. One is the separating, and the other is the call. And he mentions them both in the same sentence. So I believe the context here moves our brains in the direction at which we should interpret the meaning of the word separated here. And incidentally, this word is aphoreza. Now, I haven't pronounced it correctly, Matt. It's a form. It's a Greek form, aphorizo. It's Strong's number 873. And it means to set off apart or to set off by bounds. Apo is the root of it, and phorizo or horizo is the main part of the Greek form, and it means the horizon, as if it's a boundary, is what the word means. That's where horizo is where we get our word horizon. And it's literally the boundary if you look out between the earth and the sky. We call it the horizon. And that's what that word means. So, the definition of it is to set off apart or set off by bounds. So I believe, in my mind, at least in my mind, that tells me that this separated has something to do with the calling. And I believe they're tied together in this verse. And if you look at the context around it, Paul's talking about his total change. So, Ronnie, what are you trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say. And I've said this before. I may have had a study on this before. I don't know. I'd have to look back in the book. Here's what I believe about this. I believe that the minute the Apostle Paul was born, God set a bound for it. That he separated him from that moment. Not at the Damascus Road. From that moment. To do that which God wanted him to do. So, wait a minute. Well, I got a problem with that. Because he wasn't a good boy for quite a while there right at first. Was he? Let's go back and look at it. I believe that this setting apart was accomplished according to God's plan, even though Paul's start may seem to be a little to the contrary. Now, we've talked about this before. This is nothing new. Paul will tell you himself about his history. And he does so in Scripture. Let's turn there and look at it just for a few minutes here. Turn with me back to Acts 7. What I want to do is kind of sum up Paul's life at the beginning and then again at the end. Then I want to make some comparisons. Turn with me back to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 7. Everybody knows what happened in Acts 7, right? Lori knows what happened in Acts 9, don't you, baby? Boy, you should get in trouble for that one. We won't go there today.
Good idea.
Yeah. See? It gets back to Bob's study again. Gets right back to Bob's study. It all kind of comes back to that anyway, don't it, Bob?
Yeah.
I'm on now. Let's read Acts chapter 7, 54 through 58. Now, everybody knows that the Spirit is on Stephen big time. And Stephen is telling the Jews about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's telling them a lot of stuff that they're not particularly crazy about here. They're a little upset at him, you might say. And he says, and after he goes down, I'll just give you an example. The point, if you want to know what Stephen was busting them for, is in 751. He said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you." Take them off a little. He said, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and the murderers." Y'all killed Christ, is how we'd say it in the South. Y'all done it. Y'all killed him. Y'all hung him on the tree. That's how we'd say it. He says, "Who have received the law by the disposition of angels," and we studied about that a little bit in my angel study. "You've received the law by the disposition of angels, and you have not kept it." He says, when in 54, this is where I was going to start. You get the gist of what Stephen was hitting them with. It says, "When he heard these things, They were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were not happy. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, verse 55, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Well, that right there sealed his fate. That, in their economy, for a man to do that was blasphemy. They wouldn't even say the name of the Lord. And yet here he stands there and says, "I just saw heaven open and I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father." Ooh, that's a bad idea if you want to survive. And we know that he did. Look what happened. Then they cried out, verse 57, with a loud voice and stopped their ears. They quit listening and ran upon him with one accord, with one purpose. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Yep, same one. He was there when Stephen was stoned. He'll tell you himself. Let's keep going. Let's look at a few more of these. I want you to turn with me right quickly over to the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts. I want you to hear Paul say it for himself. Luke tells us here in Acts 7 that Paul was there. I want you to hear Paul say he was there. Turn with me to Acts 22, verse 20. Now here he's before, he stood on the stairs here, and he says this in verse 20. He says, and when the blood of, he kind of gives his confession, starting over about, let's see. He starts at the beginning of 22, and he gives his confession all the way down. I will skip a lot of it for time's sake. But the point I want you to see is in verse 20. He says, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consented unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. I held her clothes. I watched the pile while they, they didn't want to get too hot while they're busy stoning somebody. So he said, I watched the coats. Let's go back to Acts 8. Because the story continues on after that. I just wanted you to hear Paul admit it. And he does in Acts. He does there in Acts 22. Let's read Acts 8. I'm going to read 1 through 4, and I want you to note verse 4 especially. And Saul was consenting unto his death, it says. There's Luke's version of it. We've already heard Paul's version of it. Luke says exactly the same thing. Paul consented to it. He was agreeable with it. Then he says this. Luke says, and at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So you get the picture. Most of the believers were scattered out because of all this persecution that was coming down upon them, led no doubt to a great degree by the Saul of Tarsus. Let's read on. And devout men, it says, carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, what did he do? He made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Now, what you see in verse 4, I believe, is a direct result of what you read in verse 3. And 4 says this, therefore, and that's why I say that. Anytime you see therefore, you need to go and look at the previous couple of verses. Because it's giving you cause and response, cause and response, cause and response. That's what therefore is there for. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere. Doing what? Preaching the word?
Yeah.
Now wait a minute. Had he not persecuted, would it have got preached? Maybe, but not by the avenue of Paul. God had a reason for the things that took place. Do you see the chain of events that I'm talking about here? We think that Paul wasn't in his right mind doing these things. Remember what he said. He said, God separated me not at the Damascus Road. He separated me at my mother's womb for all the things that I'm going to do. It's a little hard to think about, and it's a little hard to take sometimes, but I believe that to be the truth. God's ways are not our ways. What we think is right, a lot of times, is not right in the eyes of the Lord. What we think is a waste of a life sometimes may be necessary for some other plan that God's working on. Seems weird, don't it? But I believe it's the way God works. I'll be the first to admit that I do not understand all of the ways of God. Believe me. That's not difficult for me to admit at all. But I want you to think about that. It says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And I believe that it's like, I've heard it reckoned like kicking a fire. You ever built a campfire? You try to put it out, you burn your foot, you get kicking it around. Well, next thing you know, you got, you know, being a fireman, I'll know these things. And I got 15 fires burning around there. Well, that's what happened with these. You know, the more Paul tried to stomp it out, the worse it got. He's a powerful man. He had the letters. He had the authority as he went along. He could just come into your house, drag you, hailing men and women. Doesn't matter if he's a man or a woman. Drag you out and take care of you. Send you to prison. During this time, that's what was happening. But as he did it, believers were running. They were getting scattered. Well, when they settled somewhere, got out of range of this man, guess what? They went preaching. That foolishness of teaching began. Preaching and teaching. It's just a bunch of waste of time, isn't it? So I believe what I want you to know is even the deeds he did before God called him on the Damascus Road, that the word was being spread by him like kicking a fire. No different. Turn with me over to Acts 9 for just a minute. I can't resist. You got to read this. Acts 9. So this mighty man, this powerful man, Saul, seems like as he's going along, he's so powerful that only God could stop him. And guess what? God stopped him. He met the one day that he persecuted. He met him around that road. He said, at last he was seen by me as one born out of due season. He says, I saw him. But this mighty man then becomes Saul the blind. After he saw the light that he couldn't stand in, light blinded him. But he saw more than he ever saw in his life that day. He saw the light that showed him more than he had ever known up to that point. Although I'm convinced he was one of the most intelligent men probably that ever existed, in my mind. Anybody that can know and keep all that law, like he said he did, had to be an intelligent fellow. There was something special about him. But even at that, he had to be cut down to size. And that's where it happened here on the Damascus Road here in Acts chapter 9. Lori knows about that. Let's read 9, 10 through 16. If I can get the right picture. Acts 9, 10 through 16. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus. Everybody knows it's already happened by this point. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. The Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight. and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many. I bet he had. Lord, I've heard by many of this man. He has a little reputation going before him, don't he? How much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. See, even Ananias thought it was evil. And here, where I am, here in Jerusalem, he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. He can lock me up. You want me to go see the one that can lock me up? And the Lord said unto him, but, let me get it right, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, and for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And he's already doing a little suffering. He's still blind at this point. Till Ananias gets there and lays his hand on him, he still can't see. Now, finally, I want to read, let's go back over now to the end of Paul's ministry, over to 2 Timothy. Everybody knows 2 Timothy to be, I believe we all agree that 2 Timothy is probably the last book written in Scripture, chronologically. 2 Timothy. Let's see, 2 Timothy, I've left out the chapter. It's chapter 4, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 4. We've reached the end here. If you read the book of Acts, you read all Paul's epistles, you read everything that he did, we're down to the last chapter. We started at the beginning, now we're over here at the end. And Paul says this, talking to Timothy. Remember, second book, 2 Timothy. He says, I charge thee. So there's a charge here. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. There's that waste of time again, preaching the word. Remember, we're looking at the last things that Paul's going to tell Timothy. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables or myths. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry, or fully accomplish what you've got to get done. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. It's right here. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, no doubt now about what his crown is. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, let's read on down to verse 13. He says to Timothy, now here are the, he's already given him what I call kind of the doctrinal part of it. Here's the practical working out. Kind of the last minute help me's. He said, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Timothy, I need you to come pretty quick. That's what he's saying. For Demas hath forsaken, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. If you go back in Acts and look, if you're going to depart from the faith, that's pretty much the place to be. They always had trouble in Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke, he says in verse 11, is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Look at verse 13. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. You ever thought about this? Exactly what this means? What is he talking about here? Now remember, this is it. This is the end. There ain't going to be no more books of Paul after this. This word books here is the Greek form biblion. Now, where do we get our word? What's our word for that? We get our word Bible from that same word. And it means a paper, a letter, or a book. I wager what's on the books, what's written in the books. The word parchment's there, and I know I'm running out of time, is the Greek word membrana. What word do we get in the English from that? Membrane. And that's literally what it means. It's used only here. This is the only place that this word is used in the Scripture. And it means a membrane or a skin. No doubt used as a paper, I believe, as paper. What we would equivalent, Timothy, bring the paper with you. Bring the books that are written, what I've already written, and bring the paper. Because it was so hard to come by then. And what's he going to do to us? Got to hand them over. It's over for him. That's what I saw here this weekend. Not that it's necessarily over for a lot of us, but that it's being carried on by faithful men who are apt to teach. And that's important. Because we have children and children's children who are coming along. And if this is important enough for us to be here, that it's important enough to pass on to them. That's my message today in a nutshell. I thank God for these men that are coming along. I don't know why it upsets me so much, but it does. But I want them to know I thank God for them. And I believe here, and this is my point, that Paul was passing the writings and the torch to young Timothy, who was to commit the word of the mystery and truth to faithful men who would be apt to teach. And I thank God for them. Bow with me. Father, we're so thankful for this day and for what you've given us, for the truth of this word and how it hits us. God, knowing that it is your word and knowing that in it is life, and Father, so precious to us, we thank you so much for it. Thank you for that which you allow us to see, but not by any agency that we do, Father, but we know that all things come by the Spirit. Thank you for that. Be with those that are here today and bless them. May they take that which was said, apply it to their hearts and their lives, and Father, search the Scripture to see if these things be so. First in Christ's name, today that we do of the prayer. Amen. And thank you much.
Well, you heard him. It's over.